Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I have been saving a story for you. Personal story, Krista.
Oh, good.
Story about our day today. And it has absolutely zero things to do with our theme today.
Okay.
But tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is.
And Matt and I are procrastinators. And as you know, we have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and now they are both in school and needing Valentine's. And we had some Valentine snafus already, and it's not even Valentine's Day yet.
Oh, no.
So, Eloise came home with a note from her teacher. Everybody is tasked with bringing one sort of thing for their collective party, right? So the teacher doesn't have to buy all of the things. Totally cool. Awesome. Our little slip said, please bring Valentine M&Ms, red, pink, and white. Great. I didn't have the actual slip on me, and I was going to like, oh, well, I'll just go to the store and pick it up like afterwards. Yeah. But then I ran into Matt. Matt said, I can do it. I've got time. I was like, great. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful. So Matt goes.
Go?
Yeah. Now, you know, Matt, you know, when Matt is asked to do something, to bring something to a party,
it gets done.
It absolutely gets done. But if you were going to say that Matt undercommits or overcommits, what would you say to like the amount of things he brings? Like if you ask him, just bring a beer.
Oh, he'll bring far extra.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because his, I think, greatest fear is like running out mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. So Matt goes to the store and he doesn't find just the like Valentine's Day themed M&Ms. Matt, what did you find?
You know, when M&Ms, they put them in the tubes with like a heart on top, or at Christmas time, it's a candy cane.
Oh, yeah, I bought 5 of those already.
Yeah? How much were those?
I think they were 2 for $5.
Oh, you got a deal.
Guess,
I bought mine a while ago.
Guess how many Matt bought for the school party?
30. 25.
29. At $2.75 a pop.
Guess, what Ooh. Is that math? How much was that total for this one thing like, that we probably, were donating?
It was around $80.
You just needed a bag or two of
They didn't M&Ms. Have them. So then I was like, oh, okay. I asked Eloise, are these individual, like for each one of you? Like, is this what you're tasked to bring for your Valentine? That's what I was thinking in my brain. Like, oh, this is for Valentine. No, it was for the teacher to get ready.
They're probably going to put it in like a big bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's probably going to empty all
of spent $80 on these things. I sent it off with Eloise. I said, Eloise, you have to talk to your teacher and tell her if there's any extra to bring them back because they're expensive. Well, Eloise just went to the teacher and the teacher was like, oh, are these for the party? And Eloise was like, yep.
Well, that was very generous of you.
Again, like part of us is like, oh, okay. But you know what? Whatever the teacher needs, right? Whatever. Like I will do it. She is watching my kids all the time.
Yep.
We're going to, if we never see it again, like it hurts a little bit because, yep, we could have just bought one bag.
Or maybe two.
Or two. You know yeah. whatever. Okay. So that was snafu number one. Okay. Snafu number two was today. It's the day before Valentine's Day. We've got I'm like working on getting them ready, but they have little tattoos inside them, but they want like candy to go with. I'm okay. Okay. Matt and Eloise go to the store, pick out candy because that's a very big thing. So Matt calls me from the store today and he's like, we are doing this differently in the future. This is not we're having problems here. And I was like, what is going on? It's like just Valentine's Day candy. It's not that big of a deal. He's like, everything is sold out.
But not the, you know how M&Ms come in those little containers, like individual or blue or red, and you can flip the top. And
oh, yeah, the little mini M&Ms?
Yeah, but yeah. They had those in Skittles.
Oh.
30 of them. I bought them all.
But we need like basically 50 of them for the two classes. So then he's like, I have spent a total of $180 on Valentine's candy. And I
lost my mind for a little bit. Next year, this is trash.
But hold on. You should just call me because I did mine about 3 weeks ago.
And you know what I found when I was at the Walmart?
What?
Guess what? They're back in stock with the red, white, and pink M&Ms.
M&M bags?
Yeah. For a whole 20-ounce bag, $4.50.
And guess how many ounces we actually needed for the teacher?
10.
Well, you're an overachiever.
Okay, but hold on. So Matt calls me.
I just found that out tonight, though. That,
yeah, after. We found the slip. We found the slip. So then Matt calls me, and I tell him, that is ridiculous. Like, I don't think I can get behind spending $200.
No.
No.
On Valentine's candy?
We need to think outside of the box here. Mm-hmm. Like, what about gushers? You know, we never buy our kids gushers, like, because it's not, you know, it's like that's candy to me. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So then Matt goes and he compromises with Eloise because Eloise is, you know, the specific kind of candy is very important. They settle with fruit by the foot. Also another thing that we never buy our kids. Mm-hmm. So, everybody gets fruit by the foot between the two classes. It was $30 instead of $200 on these fancy candies. And so here we are. Matt's going to return everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're a good parent. Do you know what? I went and picked out my children's Valentine's Day things for their classes about 3 weeks ago. They were not even along. I selected them. I brought them home and I was like, look at these cool things I thought for Valentine's Day. Now you guys can sit down and write everybody's name on them.
Yeah. Excellent.
And they thought it was great.
Well, you know what? I think so that's what we need to do next year.
Maybe just need to present it.
You even told me about it and I was like, oh yeah, Valentine's. Yeah. I need to start thinking about that. And
then I made them a cup of hot chocolate so they could sip their cocoa while they wrote out their Valentine's. And maybe that distracts them so they don't think about the fact that they did not get to choose what their class was receiving.
Mm-hmm. See, you're a good mom.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're a good mom.
Yeah. Well, we're doing it different. That's all I'm saying, folks. That's it.
Plan B.
There's my long-winded introduction that has nothing to do with our episode tonight. Hey, everybody. I'm Amy.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Krista, our very good friend. Hi. You have met her, known her, loved her from previous episodes. And we are Midwest married. So thanks for being with us today and watching. We bonded recently over an experience. A house project experience. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of was the motivation and inspiration for the episode today is house projects, house things, especially with your spouse and how that...
that always goes well, doesn't it?
Impacts relationships. Always goes so well. Matt and I have never, ever, ever fought about hanging up curtains. Ever.
This is brutal. I'm going to get roasted on this episode. House projects with your spouse are some of the worst tasks to be had. We do not, we don't thrive in those moments.
Yet we're building a house together with our own four hands, I guess.
Wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
I think you guys are doing great.
Well, that actually I feel like we're doing okay with over at that house.
Yeah.
It's been like the little tiny house projects that we do over here that rip us apart and make us think about divorce. Not really, but...
We'll get to those personal stories.
Yeah. I'm going to start off with a Reddit story that is, I think, going to resonate with you, Krista.
Okay.
Okay. And not totally about home renovations, but just house ownership in general. And, you know, because everybody, when we're doing these house projects, we want to make our home like as homey as possible, that we want it to fit us. We want it to make it, you know, where we want to raise our family. And so sometimes finding that home to begin with can be a struggle, right?
Sure.
So we're going to start at the beginning.
Okay.
Finding that home. So title of this one, Lost Out on Dream House, How to Help My Wife Move On.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
My wife and I plan on moving back to her home of Vancouver, Canada, to be closer to her family. We have been looking at homes for almost a year with the idea that we would look for a fixer-upper with a good layout and do a renovation. The plan was to move from the U.S. when the home was purchased to oversee the renovation from a different property we would rent. Recently, my wife was in town and walked through a home that would have been a little less than all in budget, but was fully finished. Brand new home that checked every single box for our family. She called me from the home, and first thing she said was, "I found our home." The home had been sitting on the market for about 9 months with several price reductions. So we made a lowball offer, and after a few back and forths with the seller, we had them with a counter offer 15% lower than their latest reduction. We woke up that morning confident that we would have a contract signed that day, but we pressed our luck a little too much. By lunch, we found out they rescinded their last counter offer because they got another buyer closer to their initial ask, which they happily accepted. Don't blame them. We are pretty upset, but my wife is devastated. She had already started planning her summer around being there, looking at furniture, getting ready to change the kids' schools for the fall, etc. It's been 3 days since we got the news, and she refuses to even look at another house because it doesn't have XYZ like that house did. I know from our current home that sometimes these things happen, but it hurts so bad for her because it was just ours to lose. We weren't just simply outbid. We had an incredible deal sitting in our lap, but we thought we could get them down even more and set up another buyer to give them an offer that the seller had to take. How do I get her to move on and keep looking? She's treating this like a bad breakup, refuses to get back in the saddle and keep looking. She thinks that somehow the listing agent will call us to tell us the deal fell through, which could happen, but unlikely given the types of buyers in Vancouver. I know it has only been 3 days and she will come around eventually, but what can I do or say to help her through a situation that I am also going through?
Been there.
I know you done have. That. And so that's why I picked this story. Yes. Because I'm like, oh my goodness. So yeah, tell your house story and where you are now.
Yes. So house buying is hard.
It's so hard.
It's hard. I purchased a home shortly after moving to where we currently live. That was at the time my dream house. And then I went through a divorce and ended up downsizing and found the cutest house that really did work for my family at the time. But then I got remarried and my family grew and this house shrunk. And we looked for our dream home for nearly a decade. I've looked at hundreds of houses in this town. And I have had my hopes shattered so many times. I think looking for houses is like the biggest emotional roller coaster, because every time you see one that you think will work and you put that offer in, you see yourself there, you put yourself all on the line. And then when it doesn't work out, it's so devastating. And I think everybody gets invested at a different level. I am an all in. I understand this wife.
Yeah.
All in. I can picture, I've picked out the bedrooms. I know where everyone's going to sleep. I know what color I'm going to paint the walls. Like it is, I see myself living there. It is home.
As and then you should.
And that, then you don't get it. And it's so heartbreaking. And I don't know that there's anything that this husband can say to her to make her feel better. I think time. And when she's ready to look, there will be more houses. There will be.
Because Did you take some breaks in the house hunt through the 10 years?
Yeah, we did. We definitely did. I mean, I always kind of kept a pulse on what was happening, but we would look really intensely for a while, and then you'd get your heart broken and you'd have to take a little pause. Mm-hmm. And then we'd look really intensely, and then we'd be like, oh, maybe we could just fix our current house, right? We can just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But that never, you know, we kept trying, and we did, and we made our house a lot better
mm-hmm.
than it was, but it never was quite the right thing. But now I'm very pleased to say that after our decade of looking, we did find our dream house.
Yay!
And it still needs a lot of projects, so we'll get there too, I'm sure. But
well, you've already done a lot of work to it and mm-hmm. kind of put your stamp on it already.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But even in that, it was like we had it. We thought we lost it. Matt talked us into spending more money, and then we got it. So,
I did.
There you go.
That's why I think this story is so ridiculous.
We own this house because of you.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
You know, the one who brings the extra to the party, right?
Just bring the extra.
I'm going to get the job done. It's going to happen. Time. Be better off for it in the end.
Right.
Yes. So you were at the beginning of your house renovation journey then with your husband, Matt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you've already tackled a couple projects.
We have.
Uh-huh. We actually popped on over for your latest project, which was a lot of fun.
Yes. And, you know, I highly recommend 10 out of 10. Invite a friend because then the project goes more smoothly.
It was good. It was fun. So maybe that brings us to our next story a little bit.
We're already jumping to the next story.
Oh, do you have more things to say? I have stories lined up. So tell me your thoughts, Matt.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
This
husband's being ridiculous. 3 days. And you... Come on, that's upsetting. You thought you were all in. This is the place you're going to live. And like you said, you dreamt it. You dreamt it up. You're in. You put all this hope in. And then it's crushed. 3 days and you're moping about your wife being sad about it? Grow up, Peter Pan. That's number one, I have to say. And then you got greedy. You thought you could take advantage of a situation. And if this was the dream house that your wife and you thought it was, then why take the risk? Why try to double down and get them to reduce again? You've already seen that there's been reductions. Anytime there's price reductions, it hits Zillow and everybody that's ever looked at it, it's like, bing, hey, there's been a $20,000 price drop. Spent a lot of time on Zillow and real estate, whatever, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we were trying to figure out if we were going to buy a different house or, you know, while we were waiting for the land to go for sale. Yeah.
So then, you see that. And then you should just expect other people saw that same thing.
And are going to get excited.
And they're going to get excited and be like,
put in an offer.
All right, let's put in an offer.
Might be somebody else's dream house too.
And then there's escalation clauses. Hey, we'll throw in an offer at $10,000 more than what anybody else comes in at. Boom, cash. Yeah, you're fucked. Out.
Yeah, buying houses is so hard. Sarah, when they were looking in the market too, I'm sure that this happened to you too, where they would put an offer in and then somebody else would come in from somewhere else. I don't know. California, usually.
Denver, California. Yeah. Yep.
With an all cash offer for like these like $600,000, $700,000 homes and no seller is going to say no to that. And you don't blame them, but like, how does this happen? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we're just like, who can compete with that? Housing market's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. And we lost to a lot of all cash offers. That's tricky. Super tricky.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say is if there's truly a good house out there, you just make your wife get in the car and force her to go and look at it. You just say, it doesn't have everything, but I think this is going to be a good situation.
For this guy that you're talking about?
For this guy.
That he should just like 2 days or 3 days after?
If he found a house that's like, he should put in the work, find the house and go bring her.
Just go for a drive.
Just go for a drive.
Just arrive. And then maybe she'll want to go in.
Okay.
She has to.
How would you broach that subject with her?
Hey, Amy. Mm-hmm. I know you're really upset about this. Mm-hmm. I know that we fucked up. Mm-hmm. But I need you to come with me. Mm-hmm. I may have found a replacement. It may not have the hot tub that you wanted, mm-hmm. but it has everything else and then something else.
Okay.
And you just say, you're coming with. We're going to go. We're just going to go look.
I love how you come off all like hot and strong and you're like, you just force her. And then I'm like, how would you force me?
You could trick her.
And then you say, Amy, I acknowledge your feelings. I know you're really sad, but I found something else that might be better. Let's go and do it.
Or
tricking you guys on the internet.
Or just say, hey.
I'm like, because I know that you wouldn't do that to me.
We just got a Chick-fil-A in Duluth. The big deal, apparently. Mm. And maybe just say, hey. Let's hop in the car. We're going to go grab some Chick-fil-A. Let's go, you know? And then, ha! Gotcha. We got to stop here first.
I prefer your first method because that second method, if you pull up and she's just like unprepared and not ready for it, it might blow up in your face.
Maybe.
Yep.
Then I'd go in and look at the house.
Yeah, that's fine. First method, though. Acknowledge her feelings.
I might have used the second method several times on my children. You guys want to go for ice cream? Oh, and we're going to stop and look at this house.
Yeah. Just on the way.
It's on the way.
But I mean, with your children.
And we're going to circle back to that invite a friend comment over in a little bit.
Okay. Next story, renovation frustration with me, 29 female, and him, 31 male. Is this understandable or abuse?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
My fiance, together 2.5 years, has a very hard time dealing with stressful situations. He gets frustrated pretty easily and ends up angry. For several reasons, we have a few more difficult projects we need to complete. Of course, we can't hire anyone right now, and so we are doing it. One of the things we worked on this weekend involved installing something he needs for work. I always dread these projects because they always go badly. But I try anyway. We started working on it, and pretty much right away, he was getting really frustrated. Swearing because things aren't working right away, saying I need to be better at helping. And I hate this because I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm right there, willing to help in any way, but he just needs to give me instructions. He gets mad because he says I need to be proactive and he doesn't want to give me instructions. I can't be proactive because I have no clue what to do. Raising his voice, constantly asking me, why is this here? Meanwhile, we are in his office that I rarely go in. Sorry, I just relate to this so much. I just hate it. But I stay there and I try to help. But this weekend I realized how much I walk on eggshells around him because he's always exploding when we do any type of project. Really, his frustration tolerance is incredibly low. Mine is medium high. So I have no idea why he's constantly freaking out about stupid little things, and it's frustrating and stressful for me. The reason I'm confused about how to feel about this is how much and how quickly he apologizes. He'll be nasty and angry. Example, because I'm struggling to plug something into the back of some equipment with very little light. And he'll rant about how he's the only one who can do stuff around here and he's sick of it and why the hell is this blah, 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 blah in this corner, etc. Who the hell put shit everywhere? He's sick and tired of being the only person around who actually uses their brain. He needs me to work with him instead of against him all the time, whatever that means. etc. She's got lots of examples there. Then as soon as we get it plugged in, he hugs me and thanks me for being patient with him and gives me a kiss. Is this understandable in stressful situations? I honestly don't know. My dad did a ton of projects while I was a kid, around the house, working on cars, building things, and he never acted like this. Even when frustrated, I never heard him get angry with my mom. She was often helping him. Was my dad just a saint, or is my fiance out of control?
I'd say maybe a little bit of both. You know, it sounds like her dad was maybe a saint if they never had trouble working on projects together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
That is.
If you want to test your relationship, there are one of two things you can do, a house project or a canoe trip. Those are the two things.
And then you will know. Oh my gosh.
That's
have
it.
We, have we talked about our...
our canoe snafu? I think that's what we should call it from now into eternity. The canoe snafu.
Let's save it for a different episode.
But I mean, those are the things.
Those are the things. I 100%
test your relationship. So there, I think if she only ever observed positive working relationships on a house project, sainthood. Also sounds like her fiance might be a little extreme.
Yeah. Might be overboard a little bit. I will say, Amy and I have done curtains. That has been a struggle in the past in our life. You know, where do you center it? Where do you want it? How high do you want it?
Do you measure from the ceiling? Do you measure from the floor? Do you use a level? Do you use toothpaste to mark the holes?
Are we
going
to find studs? Which anchors are you going to use? Which drill bit? That's not the right size. I asked for a 13/16 drill bit. You gave me a 32 something, whatever. It's ridiculous. But we've managed. We've gotten through the curtains. The bunk bed?
We succeed.
The bunk bed almost crushed us. And not literally, just...
in the moment.
In the moment, spiritually, relationship-wise.
We might have had to, like, take a break.
How'd your crib go? I think cribs are the hardest thing to put together.
I don't remember assembling the crib. I think
the
crib went
okay. Crib. The crib went... it was easy breezy.
Really?
It was like...
oh, our crib was terrible.
Six pieces and just Allen wrenches. Oh. No, the bunk bed...
has a slide. Oh,
lots of pieces, has a slide.
Yeah.
I can relate to the guy and the fact that it's like, okay, like, why are you doing that? Like, you have your own plan of how it should go and you feel like you're always so in sync with somebody else. Like, obviously, this is... you should not be doing this. What are you doing? Stop.
Yep. And I think I know what I'm doing because my dad is carpenter. I've got a little bit of skills, not a lot of skills, but I got a little bit of skills. And so I've seen him do things and there are many ways to skin a cat, right? Terrible saying, but it's true that there's many ways how to build a bunk bed. And maybe you're right and maybe I'm more right.
And I think both can be true.
And I think
The way I approach a project and the way my husband approached a project, very different. Also, before we sold said house that we sold, we decided to fix our garage.
Mm-hmm.
It needed new siding and a new roof. And we needed to do it quickly. And so we invited our families to come, which was very... I mean... it revealed the fact that, like, I do the things the way I do them because that's how I was taught by my dad and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that my husband does the things the way he does them because he was taught by his dad. Because our two dads also tried to work together and there were same squabbles. Because it was like, he had in his mind the way it should go and he had in his mind the way it should go. And
yeah,
it wasn't a married couple, but it sure felt similar.
There needs to be a lead man on the job.
Here's a big question.
Or woman.
Are you a directions person? You open the box, you have all the parts, and there's a packet there that has directions.
I read the directions. Yep.
I do as well. I don't know if you do.
I think I read the directions.
Oh, well, I've done some projects with your dad, and he's like, bah, directions, we don't need them.
Yeah, he does not like to read the directions.
It drives me Wild.
So, yes, my dad, typically I am the flashlight holder, and I have perfected that art. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't yell at me anymore because I'm always, it's an important job. I'm always shining it exactly where it needs to be because I'm paying attention, not in my youth. But anyway, I hold the flashlight mm-hmm. and I read the instructions, and he tries to figure it out on his own. But then I will jump in when he's doing it wrong and be like, oh, the directions say this. So that's what I'm used to. That's what I'm coming from.
If he's receptive to those directions, that's fantastic. The problem comes when someone reads the directions and someone doesn't read the directions. And when you know the directions, then you simply point out like, hey, the directions say that maybe this would be the right way to do it.
Nah.
That doesn't go so good.
That would be a problem.
Does Matt read the directions?
You helped him with our most recent project.
No. No.
So I have this saying. You should act as if everybody's recording you all the time. That's how you should act, right? In your brain, like if you're going to.
I'm not super good at that.
You know, I struggle
Matt
from time
either.
To time. And that's, and that's a very common saying. It's been said.
He's working on it.
I'm working on it. Right? But if you can't act like, you know, you're being videotaped and your friends are going to see it, just take it the next step. Invite them over. And then everyone's forced
to behave a little
behave
better.
And yeah. Act right.
Just a little better.
So you want to tell the curtain story and us coming over?
The bedroom story.
The bedroom.
So we decided to be in our bedroom, got a new bedroom set, had bought these curtains quite a long time ago. Actually bought and returned several sets of curtains before we found the ones we wanted. And we had painted the bedroom, but it came time to put together the bed. And partly it was because it came in very big boxes, which we very much struggled to load in our truck from the place we purchased them. Mm-hmm.
And so I text muscle.
Matt and Amy, and I was like, hey, I'm raising the white flag. I can't unload this out of the truck. We could just use a couple extra hands. Could you ever come help us? Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
So put the bedroom set together, got the furniture all set up, and it's like, hey, while you're here, any chance you'd help us hang these curtains?
And we were like, yep, we totally are trying to ignore our house projects. Sign us up. Yeah. And then your husband, very, very intelligently, very smart man, mm-hmm. goes, hey, Amy, how about you grab a glass of wine and you and Krista sit on the bed while we hang these curtains? And I was like, Maddie Ice, that is a fantastic idea. I'd love to do that. Yeah.
We had a good Let's little project that. Day.
It was like the smoothest project because we drank wine and gave directions, like a little higher, a little lower. This is where mm-hmm. I want them. Mm-hmm. And the men executed beautifully. The curtains are perfect.
They look great. The bedroom mm-hmm. yeah. set looks great. The bed went together.
Just
yes,
how we
everything
it.
Looks good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we nailed it.
Totally did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was no frustration to be had. No. And so, yes, maybe it's also a little better to put things together with friends instead of your spouse.
I think that's a winning combination.
I think that would be a winning combination, too. So maybe that is our advice for this poor fiancé. Just invite friends over so that your fiancé has to be on his best behavior. And because, you know, with your partner, you oftentimes feel so free and safe to sometimes be not your best self. Where with sure. friends, I mean, yeah, I don't want you to think badly of me. I don't care what Matt thinks of me anymore. He knows everything. But I still want you to love me forever.
I'd love you regardless. But it is good motivation.
It is good motivation, yes.
And next time you need curtains yes. for your people.
I mean, and I also do think curtains are specifically difficult. We went and helped another couple, friend couple. Do you remember this other friend couple, Matt? Do you know what I'm talking about? You
I know
do.
Exactly.
Where we went over and they were putting up the curtains, and this other friend did not enlist Matt to really help him, but he was directing his partner. And Matt and I left and we were like, geez, I did not like the way that he talked to our friend. I can't say their names. Like,
Yeah, they forgot that we were there.
They forgot. Oops. So remember, your friends are there if you invite them over, or else they're going to leave and look at each other and be like, ooh, he needs to speak a little more respectfully. That was not good.
Yeah. Did the people have anything to say?
Oh, I forget about them. The rest of the world, let's look. Top comment is a long one. Ready? People get mad and snap when frustrated. We all do it, but this seems kind of extreme and is a lot of blaming things on you when you both probably rationally know that none of what he's mad about is your fault. If his go-to when frustrated is just verbal diarrhea of the mouth, all his annoyances onto you, only to have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde moment the minute it's over, I wouldn't be down for that at all. This sub will call any shortcomings described as abusive pretty easily. Anything any of us have said at some point in our lives could be considered abusive when we are being rude and failing in our relationship somehow. What's important to focus on, I think, is the pattern and if the behavior can be addressed and changed. Does he acknowledge the problem and work to fix it? Or does he brush it off or somehow make his frustrated outbursts also your fault? Is this an isolated thing he does with these home projects only? Or does he do this type of thing all the time in other scenarios? Is he often mad 1 second and then totally fine the next? All things to think about when considering this part of a larger issue or a single issue to address. Personally, if my husband spoke to me this way while I was trying to help him, I would immediately stop helping him. I'm trying to do something nice for you and all you can do is snap at me. No, thank you. I can think of about a million other ways to spend my time. You can tell him as such. Being frustrated doesn't give anybody a license to be rude and you don't have to sit there and take it. You aren't obligated to help him do something, especially if you don't actually have any idea what you're doing. You are essentially there to be his verbal punching bag to take his anger out on. It's not acceptable, and I encourage you to remove yourself from situations where you feel that is happening. You can do it very calmly and without starting an argument, which I would recommend, especially if your guy has a temper. You seem stressed. I'll give you some time to cool off, and maybe we can pick this up later. That might be enough to get your point across, but also maybe not. Depends on how the person really is. But if you always just suck it up and take it, nothing will change.
That person had a lot to say.
I think that was a really good answer. I think, yes, on the, is this an isolated incident with projects? Like, you can dive deeper into it. Like, we kept very surface level with it, thinking about our own, like, little struggles with house projects, right? They took it to, like, okay, is this really an issue? And really addressed her question. Yes, is this isolated to house projects and hanging up curtains and he's a complete angel the rest of the time? Well, you know, probably not that big of a deal, especially if he's acknowledging it, working on fixing it. But if this is the pattern that he works and operates in many areas of his life, then not so much. I think back to our friends and the curtain hanging experience that did not go well, where our friend, who's usually very assertive, just stood there and took it. And I was like flabbergasted that she just didn't say anything in response to that. Mm-hmm. And we were concerned because we felt like it was probably going on in other areas of their lives too.
Right.
So, yeah.
I guess I'll just throw this in there because I don't have much to say after all that. But I do think with house projects, DIY projects, bunk beds, curtains, I think a lot of it comes down to expectations because it should be so easy in my brain to go and do curtains. It's not all that easy from time to time. You run into problems and it pisses you off. And I think, yeah.
I also think the more often you do some of those projects with your partner or with another person, you kind of learn that you're the flashlight holder.
Yeah. Learn.
You know, like when we're currently on a painting journey. We bought this house. Pretty much every wall needs paint, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So we're slowly tackling all the paint. I am a very good taper. I can tape all the windows. I tape all the trim.
Nice.
I'm also very good at rolling. Excellent.
I am not great at cutting in.
Ooh, that's my favorite.
And my favorite. We would paint well together.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is also very good at cutting in. So he does that. So I get everything taped and then I exit. He cuts in and then I come back and roll. And it works smoothly. Mm-hmm. But it took us a little while to figure out that like little pattern and dance so we don't get in each other's way. Nobody's getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. So now our painting projects go a little smoother now that we all have our assigned strengths and tasks.
Maybe just for those out there that are listening that don't know. What is cutting in?
What?
What do you mean?
Oh, like when you get the, you have to paint really close to the edge, like of your trim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the, you know, when you have to,
you don't just like with tape the ceiling. To the edge?
Well, when you have, well, sometimes it's against your ceiling, it can be really difficult to tape your ceiling. So you just have to paint a very straight line where the wall meets the ceiling.
Okay.
And you do that freehand usually.
Yeah.
With a really fancy brush. Just
little angle brush.
But you have to be a really patient, steady hand, which I could imagine Amy would be really good at. I don't always have the patience for that.
Yeah, I was going to call that edging, but that's a sexual term that just shouldn't be used for painting, apparently.
That, I think, has multiple definitions. Yeah. So,
you should probably do the next story now.
Moving on, next story.
Okay.
So this is a hot take. Not really a story, it's a hot take. So we're going to get perspective here. Wives should start doing the DIY home improvements they want their husbands to do instead of getting angry and stewing over it when it's not done. If the problem doesn't cause safety hazard, like replacing a faucet for aesthetics, and only one party cares about it, then they should be the one to do it. That's the title.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm here for it.
Okay.
I am a female and I have lived in my own apartment for only 2 years. I have learned fixing stuff, like simple around the house stuff, isn't really hard. We can learn anything on YouTube these days and it's awesome. I dropped my earring down the drain, so I Googled how to take the sink apart and get it back myself. I had a mouse and gnat problem in the apartment and the landlord would not help me fix it, so I Googled how to seal the house off from mice and did it myself. I have taken off and put doors back on. I fixed the carpet with a carpet steamer after my dog chewed a hole in it. It didn't look professional, but I got my deposit back. I patched all the holes in the walls that my roommates caused, and then I had to fix and redo all the patches that they did. I built shelves by myself. I realize that there are much harder tasks around the home, but none of them seem unattainable, so Google. Almost every married woman I know has a complaint about a project their husband hasn't done yet. So if you care so much, why don't you just do it yourself? Google that shit. You've got this. It isn't the 1950s anymore where these skills are only available to men. Also, most men don't give a shit about these projects, so why should they be the ones to have to work on the house project when it doesn't really impact their life at all? Especially since there is no reverse here. Back in the day, men never did any household chores, so it made sense that their contribution was this manly skill. Now, housework is split pretty much evenly among men and women, so why shouldn't this be too?
Hot take. I don't think she's wrong. I don't know. I guess I do a lot of projects myself, too. Yes. I do have a very skilled husband, though, so he's better at them than I am sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I do find that there's a project that I really want done that maybe isn't getting done as quickly. If I start it, then he'll finish it because he doesn't like the way I'm doing it.
Have you seen some of those like reels or TikToks where like the guy's just like sitting on the couch doing whatever he's doing and then the wife like comes by with like a sledgehammer and a ladder and he like does a double take and he's like,
uh-oh.
Puts down his
newspaper, not a newspaper, because what is this, the 1950s? Puts down his iPhone and like follows her out the door because he knows shit's about to go down and he doesn't want her just doing it by himself.
Good manipulation, ladies. I like that.
But I mean, I do a fair number. I mean, yes. I also had a previous husband who was a little less handy. So I learned how to do a lot of the things myself because he worked shift work and I just had the time to take care of it. Also, you can Google it. You can learn a lot. Also, if you go to Menards, Home Depot, and you walk around and look like you don't know what you're looking for, someone will be like, oh, can I help you? And you're like, oh, yes. Look at here. Here's the plans. This is what I want to do. Can you help me fill my cart? And someone always will.
Yeah.
They will walk you around the store. They'll get you everything you need. They'll give you some little instructions on how to do it. And then you just go home and do it.
Yeah, 100%.
Super helpful.
There's a lot of very handy, skilled people working at Home Depot and Menards.
Yes, they're fantastic.
And I think they make decent money working at Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's.
I've gotten lots of great advice. Fixed a few toilets by myself.
Fabulous.
You know.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Just ask for what you need.
Matt?
Yeah, if you can, why not? Go ahead, fix it. But I'm happy if you take on anything. I don't mind. I also don't mind when you ask me to do something. Yeah, I'm good with it. I don't have a problem. And I don't think I think if we start something, we usually finish it. I don't like to leave things unfinished.
We're pretty good about that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, go for it. Ladies, go take a carpentry class. Learn how to build shelves and set-ins, built-ins. That's what I meant. Set-ins. I don't even know what that is.
I don't think it's a thing.
It's probably not. So, you know.
Okay, here's one hole in the story.
Gosh.
Devil's advocate over here. Okay. She mentioned in the end that housework is split much more evenly with men and women these days. So why not? Okay, first of all, I think absolutely women, if you want to tackle a project, you absolutely should go for it and do it. Absolutely. I think you can. You'll discover, like, you know, that you might enjoy it, have fun with it. Don't be scared of power tools. You can do it, right? But what if you're still, I think that that not everybody is in 50-50 relationships still. I think still that there's a lot of relationships where the woman is working, doing the majority of the household chores, doing the majority of the child rearing, being the household manager, thinking about all of the things that need to be done to run a successful house, doctor's appointments, dental appointments, birthday parties, sports schedules, etc., groceries, etc., right? And so if that division of labor, because I really do think it's hard to have a true 50-50 division of labor.
Yeah. I would agree.
If that division of labor is not 50-50, and this is another thing on the mother or woman's plate, then I think that becomes more difficult, right? Then it's like, okay, then it's a problem of like your partner's really not pulling their weight. So, yes. In the 50-50 world, go for it. If you want to do a project, do it. But I do think that your partner should see you carrying that ladder. Get up off the couch. Go help.
Come help you.
Yeah.
This OP, did they say that they were married or had a significant other? I think that they're single.
It seems like they're single.
Yeah.
Just saying, wives should start doing some shit.
So also she's coming from a place that she just doesn't really probably understand the relationship dynamics there, being married. Maybe her married friends have kids and there's more on those ladies' plates.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I follow. I'm tracking.
I think that's really fair.
Husbands, just be nice. Do a project for your wife.
To the people?
Sure.
All right, top comment. Focusing on safety hazards. What if it causes safety hazards? Is the man then supposed to do it? Or you mean when you have to reach out to an expert anyways? Oh, they're just like being like, eh, that's a little sexist. Like just assuming that men can do it if it's like a safety hazard thing, which is, yeah. I mean, then just call an expert. But all in all, agree. If you want something to be done, do it yourself. You want a nice cake on the weekend? Bake it yourself. It's not neuroscience. It's following instructions. You want to put up a shelf? Do it yourself. If you aren't able to do it yourself, it's okay to get help. But not doing something because you're lazy or it's dirty work is cheap. Someone did bring that argument up. Reading down. So true. The only disagreement I have is that household chores are not split evenly in most male-female relationships. According to global studies, women work more hours per day than men when you compare hours spent going to work, doing chores, and childcare. Not saying that's everyone's experience, mind you, but it's a big problem that sociologists have been writing about.
Did the internet become the internet and somebody, anybody comment like, lady?
You don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you're doing. Get back to the dishes.
No. This wasn't like a super, super popular. Like there was only 67 upvotes. You know, we're right. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fits our topic.
Right. Fits our topic. So I thought that it was, a good hot take you don't have to, you know, wait for necessarily your partner to dive in and do something if you want to get something done. Okay, but what if your partner maybe started something and then didn't finish it?
That's the worst.
I don't like it. Mm-mm. In general. I want to finish the project. Mm-hmm. I don't care if we have to stay up till midnight. Like, let's finish it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, next story. My husband is not motivated to finish our kitchen after 2 years, and it's affecting my mental health. My husband, 33 male, and I, 29 female, bought our home 3.5 years ago. We purchased our house in 2020 during the height of the pandemic. We have a 5-year-old and a 5-month-old. I'd like to mention that I know how incredibly privileged we are to be our age and have the ability to own a home. A lot of our generation will quite literally never have this opportunity. I mention this because I hope I'm not sounding ungrateful as I type the rest of this post. We purchased a decent-sized home that was built in the 90s. It is approaching about 30 years old, and I love our home. I really do. But I've always dreamed about slowly updating it and making it our own, especially since it's looking like we will be here for a long time. We cannot afford to move. My husband was absolutely on board for this at first. When we moved in, we immediately updated our half bathroom. He helped me complete some projects here and there, but lately it's been stagnant. My issue is we have been in the middle of a kitchen makeover since 2021. So literally for 2 years, I have not had cabinet doors and my kitchen just sits unfinished. He will randomly get motivated here and there and will do something like a backsplash or crown molding, etc. But I can't seem to motivate him to help me finish the project. And I am very willing to help. He always says he's tired, which I absolutely get as we have kids and both work full time. He also says he doesn't have time to work on it because more important things need to be done around the house, like the laundry, the dishes, etc. Even though I clean all weekend, most weekends. This is really starting to affect my mental health. I've tried so hard to not let it bug me, and I feel naggy if I mention it. I've even asked what I can do to help or how we can break up the project to be more manageable for him, but it's no use. He just seems to not want to. He told me I am constantly wanting to do projects. I have mentioned several I would like to do, but I've only mentioned this in a casual conversation and have never actually made a plan to do them or had an expectation that they get done, at least not anytime soon. I do see his point. I'm very much a homebody, so that kind of stuff is important to me. I suspect he's dealing with depression and the situation isn't helping. Unfortunately, this is triggering some depression for me as well. I'm embarrassed to have anyone over or to host anything. I feel stuck and I don't know what to do. I resolved to try and finish it myself and not ask for help on future projects. I guess I need to learn to do this stuff on my own or let go of it, the idea of updating any other areas of our home in the future. It stems so much deeper than this, though, because I am now feeling like my emotional needs are not important. I'm beginning to harbor a deep resentment toward him, and I'm not sure what to do. Who wants to take this one first?
That's tough.
Yep.
That's really tough. I think there's a lot there. I can fully appreciate the frustration of having an unfinished project.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would really bother me. And I think it's one of those things sometimes when it goes on that long, some people are able to compartmentalize that. Like they just don't see it anymore. Like mm-hmm. you just don't see the fact that you don't have cupboard doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some people, it's just like, oh, that's the new norm. It doesn't bother them. But for me, that would be really, really difficult. So I can absolutely sympathize with her. Because I would probably be trying to put them on myself. But I also understand there's so many other demands for your time and that that is difficult to do alone. And so, yeah, I feel for her. I'm not sure that I have a great understanding of what the next step should be, mm-hmm. but I can absolutely appreciate where she's coming from. And I think I would feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Seems like their goals are very different in what they want. Mm-hmm. And I think that, yeah, having a project, like backsplash, if you're leaving that half done, that looks horrendous. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I totally understand not wanting to socialize or host anything at your house.
I feel that too.
We live in a small house. It's constantly like a comet just blew up the house all the time. It's dishes and whatever it might be. There's things, right? Start one project. It's horrible. So I get that. I understand that. But if the husband just doesn't find it as a priority and really isn't maybe invested in the first place, yeah, then maybe she should learn how to do it herself. Like backsplash isn't difficult. It can be taught. But I think that, hey, let's figure out a timeline. Mm-hmm. Like let's figure out how we can do this or what can I do for you so you can focus on the backsplash because you're good at it, better at it, you know how to do it, whatever it may be. And I will go take care of the laundry, the dishes, what's dirty in the house. You're tired? Go take a nap. It's Saturday. You take a 2-hour nap, 3-hour nap, whatever you need. I'll take the kids. We'll get out of the house. Go do your thing. And you know, we'll come back 6, 7, 8 hours later. You've had all day.
You know, set up the environment so they can be successful.
Yeah. And you bring up depression. So has that been addressed? Is it being dealt with at all? Are they talking about it? How is that being handled?
Yeah, because I think that definitely is something that can change your level of motivation and your ability to like face that project or like get a new perspective or energy to dive back in.
For mm-hmm. sure.
That's true.
Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they've talked a lot about the project itself, like, hey, we need to get this done. But I wonder if they've really like sat down and talked about everything that she's expressed in this post, how it's made her feel and how she doesn't feel like she can host and like what are action steps and timelines and a plan. You know, have they really sat down together to be able to talk big picture about this versus just the hey, we need to get this done, you know, here and there, which can feel naggy.
Yeah. I want to get this done because I want to throw a wine tasting party. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. So here's a thought. Okay, maybe instead of you doing it yourself, maybe you enlist your girlfriends to come on over. Mm-hmm. Again, it's always easier with friends and a group.
Yep.
And tackle it together. Maybe that would also give your husband a little bit more motivation to join if it seems a little more fun. Mm-hmm. They bring their kids. The kids all together can run and be wild somewhere else in the house. And you guys can focus on doing the day project of the kitchen and mm-hmm. it might end up being more of a fun thing instead of something that you just have mm-hmm. to do.
Yeah.
I think the more and more you look at it like that too, like I remember in my childhood, every time it came the season to like trim your shrubs, my mom and my next door neighbor lady, they would get together and they would on Saturdays do all of ours. And then in the evening they'd relax and hang out and all of us kids would just play. And then Sunday they would go and do all of hers. And it probably mm-hmm. would have taken my mom alone 2 days to do all of hers. Mm-hmm. And it probably would have taken her friend 2 days to do all of hers. But instead, they focused all their energy together on one house one day and the other house the next day. And I really think everybody enjoyed it and had fun and took what could have been a really crummy task. Mm-hmm. Like, ugh, gotta go deal with the shrubs.
It's way more enjoyable.
To like to go share and make the experience. It fun and like have somebody to chat with. And mm-hmm. then in the evenings, we'd like, you know, have dinner together then and just like hang out and the kids would play. And mm-hmm. I have like weirdly fond memories of
shrubs.
Trimming the shrubs. You know, and like we did have fun. And I just remember everyone's where they'd be like, come on, kids. Like you'd have to pick up all the stuff and put it in the wheelbarrow and, schlep it somewhere else. But, and then we'd play the rest of the time. But I do remember it being so much more joyful.
Yes.
Because we did it together.
That's how I feel about cooking. One of my very fondest memories in PA school, because everybody knows I hate cooking. I don't hate it. It's just like not my favorite, right? But I love going to somebody else's house and helping them in their preparations of cooking. I'm a great sous chef. I will cut and chop whatever you want. I'll mix things. You just let me sit at your, at your counter and let me sip a glass of wine and we will chat. And like that makes cooking and baking like the most fun thing ever to me. Do I ever want to do it by myself? No, absolutely not. It's the worst. But it's the best if
yes.
we're just hanging out and mm-hmm. yeah, then I love doing it. So it's always better with friends for sure. Okay. Top comment. It sounds like there is a lack of clear ownership here. The way that you've written this, I am very willing to help, makes me think that you believe he is the one who should own the project and you will help participate. But the problem is that he doesn't want to own the project. So I suggest you take ownership, roll up your sleeves, and get to work on finishing it yourself. And if he wants to help you, he can. But you will have to make it your responsibility to finish the kitchen project. I highly recommend checking out Fair Play by Eve Rodsky. It's a book as well as a system of household management that helps ease tensions by outlining clear responsibilities for each partner. We've heard about that one.
Cool. Like that.
Yeah.
All right. We got time for one more.
The title is The Husband Does House Projects Every Day While I Watch Our Baby. For starters, my husband is great. He does laundry, he cooks, cleans our house, he does it all and does anything I ask him to. He is an extremely hard worker, and when he doesn't have anything to do, he usually finds something. The issue I've been having lately is that I feel like I am watching our 21-month-old daughter by myself all of the time. When I get home from work, I get my daughter out of the car and bring her inside to see my husband. He'll say, hey, and hold her for like a minute and then go, all right, I've got to go start XYZ. It may be washing the car or working on something that's been broken or cutting the grass, but it always seems to start as soon as I get home. He gets off of work 2 hours before me, goes in earlier than me though. So I also have to get my daughter ready and take her to daycare by myself. My mom comes over to help me a lot. My husband recently made a comment about her coming over too much. But honestly, I'm so thankful that she does because I have no help with my daughter most days. I feel bad saying anything to him because he is working on things that need to be done. But I can't help but feel like the timing is always very inconvenient. If I were to tell him to watch my daughter while I mopped or cleaned up, he'd most likely tell me that there was something he has to get finished that day, so I need to hurry.
Lies.
I honestly wouldn't mind doing more around the house, but my husband always does it before I get the chance or tells me he's just going to handle it. I just can't help but wonder if he's continuously finding projects to avoid childcare. Am I overreacting or should I talk to him about this? I'm so thankful for all he does, but I would also love to take a little time to do some mindless chores every now and then while listening to a podcast.
You definitely got to talk to him.
Your want is not a bad thing. You should want time for other things and to go out and do your own stuff and listen to that podcast or whatever you want to do. You've earned that. You deserve it, right? You shouldn't be putting hypothetical scenarios in your brain and out into the world saying, oh, if I asked him, he would probably, so that I'm not going to ask him. Mm-hmm. You've never asked him, so you don't know. So you got to stop that right now. Trash, in my opinion.
Or maybe she's asked him in the past and that's what he said.
No, just based on the devil's information we were given. Okay. She yeah. said,
maybe that's why.
If I were to ask, he would probably say this.
Well, so, probably she's saying probably because that's probably what's happened in the past.
I didn't hear it like that.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe she could mow the grass. Why doesn't she offer to be like, hey, you know what? You keep her. What project do you have to do? I can wash a car. I can go mow the grass. I can do whatever, X, Y, and Z. And just have the conversation. Hey, I need some time away from the baby. I need to go and do something. Call it out. My last rant for the time being is, if you're openly admitting that all these projects need to be done, what beyond like washing the car? Because I only wash my car like once every 6 months. But why do these projects need to be done on such short notice? Are they big house projects? Are you trying to sell your house? Have you just moved in? Is it a renovation? I want to know. I need more info. But yeah, nobody really has that many house projects to do all the time.
But I mean, I think we could.
I mean, I could find something to do every day, but
yeah,
I'm a normal person and I'm just not going to.
So do you think that he is on purpose avoiding childcare? And if he is, why do you think that is?
Some people aren't comfortable with kids or around kids. I'm not sure. They're his. So he messed up if that's the case. But
Did you ever feel, though, especially when our kids were younger, like you would rather go out and mow the lawn than do the childcare tasks?
Well, yeah.
Because
I was going to say, I think sometimes it's almost subconscious because there were times, and my husband's very involved with our kids. He's very involved around helping around the house.
Yeah.
But there were times that I was like, I would arm wrestle you, except I know I would lose to mow the lawn. Because like, you think you're doing me a favor and I really want you to know how much I appreciate you and you doing that. But I would like give my left arm to go mow the lawn instead of give these children another bath.
Yes.
Not that I don't love them, but sometimes you're like, I just need to tap out. Yep. And so I think she just really needs to talk to him, because I think if you can say that so frankly of like, I really need a pause and I really need to trade.
Yes.
Because I think I have a husband who's a doer and he just likes to kind of putter along and he can always find the next thing to work on. And then goes to the garage and like 84 years later, he's back. And you're like, what have you been doing?
All sorts of things.
Yeah. Or nothing. Maybe just reorganizing. I don't know what he's doing out there. And it's usually productive.
Yep.
Kind of. But sometimes you just have to be very assertive and say like, I really need a trade.
Yes. I totally remember, and specifically mowing the lawn. Like, I would tell Matt sometimes, I really need to go mow the lawn. I want to mow the lawn. You stay in here with these hooligans.
Yes.
I go mow the lawn. Also, if you're considering trading in your like steering wheel John Deere for a zero turn fancy schmancy lawnmower that goes fast, and you've got a lot of lawn to mow, do it. It's worth the money. It is so fun. I love mowing the lawn. Like, I would arm wrestle Matt to mow the lawn, and then I'd cheat to make sure I win somehow. Yeah, right.
Cool. Oof.
It's like a video game.
This is gonna be... I'm here for the roast. You know, I wouldn't mind if when you mow the grass over me. That's fine. I would love for you to do that. Just do it better.
Oh, you know, I wouldn't mind if you did the laundry, but you do it wrong, so...
So let's stick to our strengths. Oh, you do laundry.
No.
There's portions of the lawn. I'm looking out there like, you, why? There's
I do
like
a fine
a
job.
There's like a patch of grass that's
there
like
was a rock there.
10 inches. Yeah, you put the wheel on top of the rock, and you roll the wheel over the rock, and you watch the blade...
See, here's
cut
a good solution to this. I go mow the lawn while I'm listening to whatever I'm listening to. I will jam out. I'll do the majority of it. That's like the one thing in life that you are detailed about is mowing the lawn. Really? I'm big picture, mowing the lawn.
I've got...
Yes.
And then wish you can Nate go was back here right now. We talk about how much we like our lawns.
And you can go and you can finish the lawn to make it as pretty.
Start putting some stripes in that bitch.
We did buy Nate once for Father's Day, I think it was, a shirt, because I like we saw it, you know, it was like one of those like Facebook or Instagram like advertisements where it looks like just a golf shirt, but if you look close, it's like somebody mowing like lines into lawn, mm-hmm. and it was really funny, and I think he liked it.
I love that shirt.
It's a good shirt. Yeah.
All right, keep going. Yeah, what do you got? Any other thoughts?
Anyway... yes, I think it's all about communication. Be frank, be honest, get to the heart of the issue of, hey, I want you to spend time with your child. I feel like you're missing out. You spend time with me. Maybe whatever the task you're doing can wait. And maybe that's like an introduction to that. If that's really the issue at hand,
yeah,
that you are feeling like he's not involved in child rearing and raising, maybe he's, nervous around kids. Then approach it that way. If it's more that you need a break, approach it that way. You know, it sounds like he's a pretty understanding man. You say he is a great guy. I think that if you were to approach it with your needs and how you feel, I bet he'd come around.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Yeah.
All right. Top comment. Should we look at it? Mm-hmm. Ooh, what'd they say? Okay. Mm-hmm. Top comment. I'd plan something a few days in advance and tell him, hey, on Thursday, I'm going to work on X when I get home, so please plan on being primary parent that evening. Thanks. If he does the task ahead of you, just say, oh, thanks, I guess I'll do Y instead, since now I have that time. Don't give him an out. That feels like a lot of work to me. I would just talk to him.
Right?
I mean, you could do that, but... Another person said, I have to do this with my husband. He's an amazing dad and partner. He just sometimes operates better with a plan and a schedule. He doesn't dislike or purposely avoid spending time parenting. He's just very project-oriented. Before we had our daughter, I would have to schedule him time to chill because he gets very hyper-focused.
Maybe a shared calendar?
Yeah.
I send my husband a lot of calendar invites.
Oh, I do too.
Sometimes it's even for just, things like, hey,
don't make plans.
I'm going to go get a pedicure.
Oh, yes.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yes. I have some tips on how to accomplish household projects. And according to my research, and I'm going to be real honest, you guys, I didn't do my usual deep dive. I just asked ChatGPT, how in the world, internet, do people successfully complete house projects like hanging curtains with their spouse? Mm-hmm. And this is what AI, the all-knowing, has told us how it's possible. Research insights on completing tasks together. That is the title. Number one, division of labor. Research in family dynamics often highlights the importance of equal division of labor. So take a look at it. Divide it up equally. Number two, emotional support. House projects can trigger frustration, especially when things don't go as planned. Yes, we know that. Research on stress and support in relationships suggests that couples who provide each other with emotional support during stressful times tend to have stronger, more resilient relationships. Mm-hmm. Number three, we're doing pretty good because we've kind of talked about these. Mm-hmm. Number three, communication. Another study shows that clear, direct communication is key to avoiding misunderstandings. Number four, conflict resolution. Conflict is inevitable, especially with house projects, basically, is what this says. Researchers suggest that couples who focus on resolving conflict constructively without blaming or shutting down, don't play the blame game, they fare better. Number five, teamwork. Work as a team. They go on, man, that AI has lots of things to say about this. You mentioned this earlier, set up clear expectations.
Makes sense.
Use positive reinforcement.
Okay.
So maybe the whole, hey, let's go get ice cream and on the way we'll go look at that house. Positive reinforcement. There it's not go. Trickery. It's right. Positive reinforcement.
Feeling better about it.
A communication, manage expectations, agree on a break plan. Okay, sometimes agreeing on taking a short break when things are getting too hot and heavy.
There you go.
Yep. Divvy up tasks based on strengths, like the painting, the cutting in versus the rolling. You see, you've already got that.
We didn't even need AI.
I know, we're doing all this stuff already. Keep the end goal in mind to stay focused, that you're working on a common goal. Yes. Your spouse is not the enemy. Find fun in the process.
Yeah.
That's number eight. Yeah. We talked
about that.
Find a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if possible, make it enjoyable. Put on some music. Laugh at the mistakes. Celebrate when you finish.
Drink some wine.
There you go.
All right. On that note, any other comments on house projects?
Matt says I always go way too long. I'm sorry. I can't tell a short story. I think we got it.
What's your next house project? Which room are you tackling?
Well, I'd love to tackle our kitchen, but realistically, I'm going to tackle the bathroom that the sauna is in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So
that'll be fun.
I've picked out the color.
Mm-hmm. And is it Matt going to help you? Is Asher? What's the plan?
Are you inviting us over again?
We'll invite you over when it's done.
Okay.
So you can come do that too. In our prettier bathroom. Matt and I will probably tackle it together.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Asher did help me pick the color, though. I got it narrowed down to three.
Okay. Wonderful.
So, it's a good helper.
Yeah. He'd be a good helper. Yeah. All right. Well, Krista, thanks for coming along with us and joining us today. Guys, I hope you had fun listening to all the household project venting.
It's relatable. Everybody has house projects.
I know. I hope it was relatable. So cheers.
Cheers.
Happy Valentine's Day. Take care.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.